ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनो स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. I'd like to welcome all of you to this Sunday feast program. After this program by the children, I don't know whether I can present something which will engage your attention, but nevertheless, I'll make an earnest effort to do so. So in Valmiki Ramayana, there is a beautiful verse which says,
Yatha kashtam cha sameyatam maharnave समेतच्चु व्यपेयाताम् कालमासाद्य कञ्चन। एवम् भार्याश्च पुत्राश्च ज्ञातयश्च वसूनि च समेत्य व्यवधावन्ति ध्रुवो हि एषाम् विना भवः।
सो दि मीनिङ्ग् इस् जस्ट् एज् इन् एन् ओशन् टू लाग्स् आफ् वुड् ड्यू टु इन्फ्लुयेन्स् आफ् वेव्स् वैल् फ्लोटिङ्ग् मीट् ईच् अदर् एण्ड् देन् आफ्टर् सम् टैम् separate again by influence of waves. Similarly, wife, sons, family and wealth stay together for some time and then separate because separation is inevitable. So I am going to be speaking about Ramayana, basically about Bharat Maharaj and his experiences in Ramayana. So Ramayana is an immortal epic which has many wonderful pastimes which are very relevant to our everyday life, present day life. The pastimes took place in Treta Yuga, we are now in Kali Yuga, but nevertheless the things that happened during that time are quite relevant even to the in the present day. So this particular verse which I read out speaks about separation. Now separation is an inevitable part of our life. We see that Maharaj Dashrath, he gave up his life in separation from Lord Ram. Dashrath Maharaj's queens Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi, they experienced separation after his demise, that is Dashrath Maharaj left his body. Then Ayodhya Vasis experienced separation when Lord Ram left Ayodhya, went to Anvas. Then when Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravan, Lord Ram experienced separation. Then we see that Sugriv, his wife was kidnapped by elder brother Vali and he experienced separation. Mother Sita Devi, after when she was pregnant, she was sent to the ashram, she was sent away by Lord Ram. So she experienced separation. Thus we find that separation is an integral part of Ramayana, but also it happens to be an integral part of our own life also. How? Let's analyze. In our own life also, we are separated from our balyavastha. Once upon a time we were children, balyavastha. Now that avastha is gone, we are separated from balyavastha. Later on we are separated from yuva avastha. I am speaking about myself, not those of you who are young. So basically one is separated from yuva avastha also. Then one becomes old. And in old age, after some time, you are separated from your body itself. So, separation is an integral part of human life and human endeavor. And many times, separations and breakup in relationships occur due to misunderstanding. Incidentally, misunderstanding is going to be the theme of my presentation today. So, misunderstandings are a part of life. Many times, we carry the burden of misunderstanding for years together. There was some misunderstanding some 20 years ago between two people, two families. The misunderstanding is perpetrated. It carries on and on and on. So misunderstanding is a part of our life. And it causes anguish. And it causes despondency. Especially if you are a sensitive human being. And a human being is supposed to be sensitive. So in Ramayana, Bharat, brother of Lord Ram, he became the victim of many, many misunderstandings. And it is about these misunderstandings of Bharat Maharaj that I am going to speak this afternoon. The background is briefly this. You are all familiar, but nevertheless, I have to summarize this in the context of what I have to speak. So Kaikeyi, who loved Ram even more than her own son Bharat, is joyous when she hears for the first time that Lord Ram is going to be coronated. So she's very, very happy, thrilled. But then her consciousness is poisoned by Manthara. So she becomes Manthara conscious, So her consciousness is totally ruined. So all her love, all her good intentions for Lord Ram, somehow or the other evaporate into thin air. And she starts hating Lord Ram thanks to Manthara consciousness. So then, at one time, Kaikeyi is very happy that Ram is going to be coronated, his Rajyabhishek is going to take place. But then, once she decides to send Ram away, then her happiness is all ruined, and she ruins happiness of everyone else also. So, when Dashrath Maharaj comes to meet her, he is very fond of Kaikeyi more than Kausalya and Sumitra. But when he comes to meet her, she throws, bombs at him in the form of two boons which Dashrath Maharaj had given years earlier. And those two boons now she revokes and she says, no, I want it now. And what are the two boons? The first boon is banish Ram, who is about to be on the threshold of being coronated, banish him to the forest for 14 years. And then the second boon she asks for is that coronate my son Bharat Maharaj. So these are the two boons she asks. Maharaj Dashrath, who had come to his favorite queen, now is totally shattered. He comes to share the joy of coronation of Ram, but now he is totally shattered. And he does not even believe when Kaikeyi says that Ram should be sent to the forest, because his perception is that she loves Ram very much, but now the perception has to change. So Dashrath Maharaj tries to convince Kaikeyi to change her stance, but Kaikeyi is adamant. And then the great Dashrath Maharaj falls at Kaikeyi's feet. He begs of her. He says that, please, somehow or the other, reconsider your decision. Maybe you are joking. But no, she is adamant. And suddenly, she becomes stubbornly unreasonable. Now, sometimes one is unreasonable, but when you are stubbornly unreasonable, there is very little that the opposite party can do about it. So she becomes stubbornly unreasonable. And she says that, no, Ram has to go to the forest. Now, there is another way of looking at it. The demigods also want that Ram should go to the forest. So they are in one sense, supporting Kaikeyi from outside forces supporting. Why? Because they want that Ram should go to the forest and then later on kill Ravan. That is the purpose of his advent. So they are also, you know, in one sense supporting Kaikeyi. So this way, this is the backdrop to whatever happened. So Dashrath Maharaj is absolutely miserable because he did not want even a moment's separation from Lord Ram. He was the cynosure of his eyes, you know, so to say. When Vishwamitra tried to take him away, even for a short while, Dashrath was so miserable. Now, you know, he is to be sent for 14 long years. You can imagine his misery, his grief. Huh? So, at the same time, Dashrath Maharaj also did not want to backtrack on the promise that he had given to Kaikeyi years ago. So, that is the tradition. So, the prana jaye para vachana na jaye, that is the tradition of Raghu. Raghukula rita sada chaliyai, prana jaye para vachana na jaye. So, that is there. Then, the divine personality that Lord Ram was, he readily accepts. One moment he is to be coronated, next moment he is told that you go to the forest. But Lord Ram very readily, very willingly accepts the change in his fortune that took place. So, in desperation, Dashrath is desperate. Somehow or other he wants to retain Lord Ram in Ayodhya. At that time he says, Aham Raghava Kaikeyya Varadanena Mohitaha Ayodhyayam Tamekam Bhava Rajanigruhyamam. He says that I have been deprived of my senses by the two boons which I gave years ago to Kaikeyi. But she says, he tells Lord Ram, you don't worry about the boons that I have given him. You just dethrone me. Throw me out and you sit on my throne. She says, Nigriya, Bhava Raja, you become the king. So somehow the other Dashrath Maharaj is keen on retaining Lord Ram in Ayodhya. But Lord Ram is not in that mood. He says, Bhavan Varsha Sahasraya Prithivyan Rupate Pati Aham Tu Aranye Vatsyami Name Rajasya Kankshita. He tells Dashrath Maharaj, please understand that I am not at all keen on being the king of Ayodhya. I don't want to become Ayodhyapati. You please keep your promise, stick to your promise and allow me to go to Vanvas. So this way, Lord Ram, you know, decides, makes up his mind to go to the forest, and he says that, I'll be in the forest, I'll spend 14 years there, and after coming back from the forest, once again I will take shelter of your lotus feet. This way he convinces Dashrath Maharaj, and that is that. So Ram and Lakshman and Sita, all three of them go to the forest. So this way, the decision that Dashrath Maharaj wants to take is not accepted by Ram, and finally he has to leave. Now, Bharat Maharaj and Shatrughna, these two princes were not there at all. They were not there at all when all these events took place in Ayodhya. What were the events that took place? Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they had to go to the forest. And the other major event which was catastrophic in life of Bharat Maharaj is that Dashrath Maharaj gives up his life. He dies pining for Ram. So these two events, when they took place in Ayodhya, Bharat and Shatrughna, they were at their maternal grandfather's place in a place called Kaikeyi, which was miles, thousands of miles away. Some say that it is the current day Uzbekistan. So they were that far away. So when this event takes place, Vashishtha Muni, who is the preceptor and guru of this Vamsha, he sends his very trusted charioteers. He tells them, you leave forthwith, go to Kaikeyi, go to that place and fetch Bharat and Shatrughna to Ayodhya. And mind you, when you go there, do not talk a word about the events that have taken place here. That is, Ram, Lakshman and Sita have left for the forest and your dear father is no more. Don't talk about it at all. Just go and tell them that there is an urgent business for which you are required in Ayodhya. And you bring them back. So here in Kaikeyi Desh, Bharat is seeing, you know, all kinds of bad omens. He feels that something has gone wrong somewhere, but he doesn't know what has gone wrong. But nevertheless, when this urgent summons come, he they agree, and both of them, Bharat and Shatrughna, forthwith they leave that their maternal grandfather's place, and they start traveling in chariots post haste, very very fast, very rapid. The horses are very very fast, so they bring the chariot to Ayodhya. So as the chariots approach Ayodhya, Bharat sees that the atmosphere in Ayodhya has totally changed. Ayodhya was a happy place when he left for his maternal grandfather's house, but now the Ayodhya has totally dramatically undergone a change. There is an atmosphere of anxiety, there is an atmosphere of misery everywhere, and Bharat is very much, being a very sensitive human being, he is immediately affected by the atmosphere that is now prevailing in Ayodhya. So somehow or the other, he understands, he is despondent, he feels within himself some despondency, and he sees that everywhere, the shops, everywhere, there is no gaiety anywhere, everywhere there is despondency. So he understands that something has gone amiss, but he doesn't know what has gone wrong. So as soon as they reached Ayodhya, Bharat jumps out of his chariot, and he runs to meet his father, Dashrath. When he goes there, he finds that Dashrath is not in his palace. Then he says, surely, he must be with my mother, Kaikeyi. After all, Kaikeyi was his, he was very fond of Kaikeyi. So he goes to Kaikeyi's, palace. He goes there, and after he goes there, what does he experience there? So when he goes there, he sees that his mother has become completely unemotional and insensitive. So Bharat asks, where is my father? So Kaikeyi answers in a very insensitive and in a brazen way she answers. What answer does she give? Yagati sarva bhutanam tagatim te pita gataha. She says that whatever, fate awaits every living entity. Every living entity has one day or the other has to live. Has to give up this material world and go to Yamalaya. So he feels that your father has met with death, as all living entities do. So when Bharat hears this, he's shocked. He's totally shocked because he's not expected that his father would be no more. And then he's stunned totally. In a stunned condition, he asks very innocently, of what disease did my father die? Now, how fortunate he feels, how fortunate are Ram, Lakshman and Sita that they could serve our father in his last moments. He doesn't know that they have left. He says that how fortunate they are. They got an opportunity to serve Dashrath Maharaj during his last moment. So Kaikeyi has again, she throws another bombshell at Bharat. She says that they were not here. Where have they gone? He says that Kaikeyi reveals that Ram has been banished to the forest for 14 years, and Lakshman Sita have gone with him, and it is separation from Sri Ram that led to Maharaja's death, Dashrath Maharaja's death. So when this news is revealed, Bharat becomes totally miserable. He understands that it is Kaikeyi who has manipulated things in such a way that these events have occurred, which have taken away his dearmost brother and also taken away his father. Dearmost brother banished to the forest and father no more. So, misunderstanding Bharat's heart, Kaikeyi says, Tvat krutehi maya sarvam idam evam vidham krutam. He says that, Bharat, I have arranged all these things for your pleasure, so that you become the emperor of Ayodhya. It's for your sake that I have done the things that I have done. This way she still doesn't understand what is in Bharat's heart. So she says that everything I have done, I planned everything. So this way she says, and at that time, Bharat Maharaj indeed becomes extremely miserable. Kaikeyi misunderstands the heart of her own son, and she feels Bharat would be happy to hear that he would be the next king. But that is not the case. So he doesn't want to become the king. He so much loves his brother that separation from him virtually, kills him. He tearfully chastises Kaikeyi. He fearfully chastises Kaikeyi and he says that you are Pati Ghatini. You are the murderer of my father. You have killed him. And you have sent away, you have inflicted wounds on me in two ways. One is that you have sent my dearest brother to the forest for 14 long years. And the second wound that you have inflicted is that you have killed my father. So both the wounds are very miserable for me to bear. And saying this, he almost collapses on the ground. And then he gets up. I remember there is a poet, there used to be a poet in Maharashtra, his name was Gadi Madgulkar. He used to sing Gita Ramayan. So in Gita Ramayan, he translates this particular scene very beautifully. He says, Matanutu Vairini. You are not my mother, Matanutu Vairini. Ashwapati si nahesa kanya nahesa maji mai. Says that you are not the daughter of Kaikeyi Raj, Ashwapati. You are not my mother as well. You are a murderess. And you have literally ruined my life. This way she becomes very, very miserable. And then he says, foolish lady, don't you know that only the eldest son can become a king? Why have you put me in a situation where people will think that I have manipulated things? Actually, Bharat Maharaj has not been there at all. He is out of sight. But still, he said that why did you do such things? You have put me in such a miserable position. Then he says, ask, did not the tears of Kausalya, her tears, did they not affect you at all? Have you become so insensitive? Have you become so brazen? So he said that, I will not accept the kingdom for which you have gone through so much. I am not going to accept that kingdom. So then he goes and says something very hurtful. He says that my greatest sin is that I have lived in your womb for 9 long months. For 9 long months, I have lived in the womb of such a cruel mother. Now mind you, Kaikeyi was not always cruel. This has happened. This just has happened. He said that it totally becomes inconsolable. So Kaikeyi had thought that Bharat would be happy because of the arrangements she has made. But Bharat is inconsolable. He is very, very unhappy. So influenced by Mathura, she regretted what she had done now. She said that she realizes that whatever she has done is of no use whatsoever. It has resulted in death of her husband. It has resulted in Ram, Lakshman, Sita going away. So whatever she had done, whatever she had manipulated is of absolutely no use whatsoever. So Kaikeyi had not cried when her husband Dashrath passed away. She had not shed tears at that time. She had not cried at all. But Kaikeyi started crying now. Seeing the frustration and disappointment on the face of her dear son Bharat, she starts crying bitter tears, and she literally collapses on the ground, understanding that whatever she has done has now gone wrong. So this is the first misunderstanding that Bharat Maharaj experiences. His own mother does not understand his heart. So this causes great distress. In our day-to-day life also, sometimes our dear and near ones may sometimes misunderstand us, and that causes such pain. It is not something which can be wiped off with anything. So misunderstanding is something which leaves an impact on our lives, sometimes for lifetime. So here, Bharat Maharaj is very, very miserable. So this is the first example of how Bharat Maharaj was misunderstood. The second instance is that of Mother Kausalya. Now, when it comes to Mother Kausalya loved Bharat as much as she loved Ram. There are reasons for it. Because Bharat was extraordinarily affectionate son. Extraordinarily affectionate. One more reason. In his appearance, he looked like Ram. His appearance always reminded her of Lord Ram. So this reason was enough for Kausalya to love Bharat very, very intensely. She never had that feeling that I am a stepmother of Ram. So those feelings were not there. Those feelings were not there even in case of Kaikeyi. Nowadays people talk about Sauteli Ma and this, that there are many movies based on this. But no, there was no such feeling there. She loved Bharat as much as she loved, Ram. So due to separation from Ram, she was extremely miserable condition. So after returning from grandfather's place, the first person Bharat sees is his mother, who has completely disappointed him, totally disappointed him. And the second person he wants to meet is Mother Kausalya. Because he feels that Mother Kausalya is an epitome of affection and love. So I must go and meet her somehow or the other. So he and Shatrughna, both of them, rush to Kausalya's palace. And when they go there, they find, obviously, Kausalya is in a miserable state, having lost her husband. He's in a miserable state, completely, you know, shattered by the events. And she, initially, when she sees Bharat and Shatrughna, she is happy, looks happy. And when Bharat and Shatrughna try to go near her so that she can embrace them, she suddenly pushes them away. She suddenly becomes aware, this Bharat is responsible for my husband's death. That's the feeling she has at that point in time. So, at that time, she says something, she says some sharp words, She says, Idam te rajyam kamyasya rajyam praptam akantakam sampraptam vata kausai kaikaya higram krurena karmana. She tells Bharat that your mother, you know, has orchestrated everything for you. You have got a kingdom on a platter. You know, it's been given to you on a platter. She has orchestrated everything nicely for you. And I'm sure whatever your mother has done, you are also a part of it. It can't be that, you know, Kaikeyi has arranged all this without your knowledge. But actually the fact is that it is done without his knowledge. But she said that it just can't be. How can it be that such a big phenomena has taken place and you don't know anything about it? Surely, you must also be a part of this, you know, malicious plan. You must be a part of it. That is the way she talks. Her sharp words hurt Bharat like anything. They are like knife, you know, piercing, or a sword, you know, cutting through her throat. She's very, very unhappy, very, very miserable to miserable. And Bharat, when he hears her words, he almost collapses on the ground. And because he doesn't expect that even Kausalya would misunderstand him. That Kausalya also believes that Bharat was a part of this vicious plan to dethrone Ram. Bharat just can't take it. He's very, very miserable. So, then Kausalya says something else. She says that, Bharat, I have a question for you. Why did you also not send me to the forest along with, you know, Ram, Lakshman, Sita? I would have also gone with them. Why have you left me here? Though Bharat has nothing to do with it. See, sometimes when we are in an angry or in a distressed mood, we say things which we don't mean really. Kausalya knows that what she's saying she doesn't mean, but then what she says hurts deeply. Bharat is deeply hurt by Kausalya's demeanor, by her behavior, by her words. It's very, very miserable. So then she says that, then why did you leave me in the palace? Now, did you think that by holding me captive here, you feel that Ram will not attack Ayodhya because I am here? More harsh words. So this way, she says so many things. Then Bharat, he cries, you know, cries bitterly. He goes, he pleads with her, he begs. He says that, Mother, I was not here when these events occurred. I was not here when Dashrath Maharaj passed away. I was not here when Ram, Lakshman, Sita were sent away. You are still accusing me of this, causes me great anguish. He cries, then he takes vows. He says that, I vow this, you know, I vow that I take, just as we say, we swear by our son, we swear by our father. That way he takes, you know, many, many vows, and he says that, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Though he had done nothing. But then eventually Kausalya understands that Bharat is a very genuine person. She understands that. So he says that, she tells Bharat that whatever you have done, I will, she says that I forgive you for that. And later on she says that she becomes very morose, and then she, out of misery, out of repentance, she says, and out of love for Bharat, she says that maybe a day will dawn When the moon soothing rays will, you know, give poison to people. Never had. Moon rays give always cooling effect. He says that maybe one day snow particles will emit heat. Never happens. Maybe one day the fish will leave water. Never happens. But he says that you, Bharat, you will never ever harbor ill feeling towards Ram. So she comes to that conclusion after seeing Bharat's genuine anguish. So all is forgotten. She's guilty of having said harsh things, but then she also is apologetic. She is conscious. So we may hurt somebody very deeply, but at least we must be generous enough to accept that we have hurt that person and beg for forgiveness. Of course, Kausalya is an older person. She doesn't have to beg for forgiveness. But she shows to Bharat that she has, you know, now understood him properly. How do you cure a misunderstanding? By understanding. She understands Bharat's consciousness. She understands Bharat's attitude. And all is well between Bharat and Kausalya. This way it ends. Then we come to the third misunderstanding. Now this is misunderstanding which is there in Vashishtha Muni, who is the preceptor, with the preceptor of the Vamsha, Raghukula Vamsha. So after the arduous journey, you know, journey from that Kaikai Desh, which is very far off, riding horses, Bharat Maharaj is, as they say in English, is dog tired, very, very tired. So after meeting Kaikai, after meeting Kausalya, he goes to the palace. He goes to the palace. He lies on the bed and, you know, he falls fast asleep. Overwhelmed by, you know, tiredness, he falls asleep. So when we sleep, all our tiredness also disappears. So he gets up in the morning. As he is getting up, he hears lilting, you know, music. Shehnai baj rahi hai. Musicians are playing shehnai, softly, veena, music is going on. And Bharat Maharaj, is he pleased by this? He sits up in his bed and screams. He says that I am not the king of Ayodhya. Why am I being woken up with this soulful music? I don't want this. Stop it. He feels that that people have assumed that he is going to be the next king and therefore they should be woken up with music. That used to be a tradition in olden times that kings were not just, you know, somebody doesn't come and pull off the rug, you know, from your with soft music, you know, the king is woken up. So here they give him a kingly treatment. And this is done at the instance of none other than Vashishtha Muni. Vashishtha Muni himself, you know, wants that there should be this kind of music which is done only for a king. So Vashishtha Muni wants to assess whether Bharat, you know, will be pleased by this. If he is pleased by this, means, you know, he has got the ambition of becoming a king. But Bharat Maharaj is not pleased. He is very displeased. He is very, very angry. He literally screams at the musicians. And this way, and Vashishtha is pleased. He's behind the curtain watching everything. And he's happy that, you know, Bharat Maharaj has reacted in the way he has reacted. And the next instance that happens is that Bharat and Shatrughna, both of them, they go to the royal, you know, assembly hall. It's a huge hall where, you know, all arrangements, you know, all paraphernalia has been kept for coronating Bharat. Everything is kept ready. Even the priests, everybody is ready there. All that has been arranged. And there is mass of people there. All the Ayodhya Vasis, the generals, the army people, everybody is assembled in that hall. And this is the first such, you know, meeting that has been arranged after the passing away of Dasharatha Maharaj. So everybody has gathered there, and Bharat and Shatrughna, they go there. They go to that vast assembly of people. Huge assembly, they go there. So when they go to the assembly hall, and actually Vashishtha Muni has arranged for this meeting to take place. So there was the there was a capacity crowd, everything was full. Then Vasishtha Muni addressed the gathering. He addresses the entire gathering. He says that due to God's grace and our good fortune, Ayodhya has not lost its greatness. Dasharatha Maharaj has left us, but it has not lost its greatness. It is true that Dasharatha Maharaj is no more, and Shri Ram, Lakshman, Sita have now become Vanvasis. It is true. But Ayodhya needs an able and an efficient king. So Dasharatha Maharaj was a great follower of Dharma, a capable king, and now he has ascended to heavenly planet. So, O Bharat, before passing away, Dasharatha Maharaj expressed a desire that you should be a king after him. So you are thinking in terms of you are becoming a king. Bharat, you become Ayodhyapati. Fulfill the desire of your father, follow his instructions and protect your subjects. So Vasishtha Muni further said that Parshuram, he was so obedient a son that he followed the instructions of his father Jamadagni and killed his mother on the order of, you know, the father. So, very obedient son. Then she says that there was a person called Puru. He accepted the old age of his father. Father wanted to, Yayati, he wanted to become a youthful person to enjoy material sense gratification. The story is there in Srimad Bhagavatam also. So, he says that he wanted to enjoy sense gratification. So, he goes to his son, Puru, and he goes to all his sons. All of them refuse to give him their youth. But Puru agrees. This is that Puru was such a son. So in past we have record of, you know, sons, you know, obeying the father. So you also following their footsteps, you should accept the kingship of Ayodhya. So that is the instruction which Vasishtha Muni gives to Bharat Maharaj. So what Vasishtha Maharaj said in that public assembly was not wrong. It was in the highest traditions. After all, Ayodhya needed a king. So what he said was not wrong. But what he said, it pierced the heart of Bharat. And why did it happen? Because he felt that even Bharat felt bad that even Vasishtha Muni, who is Jnani, even he thinks that, you know, I want to become the next king. That hurt him very, very deeply. It was as if his heart was being pierced with sharp, you know, arrows, and he started sobbing. Inconsolably started sobbing, and he was thinking, Vasishtha Muni, abhi mere bare mein yehi soch rahe ho. He's thinking that even you, et tu Brutus, as they say, even you thought about the same thing about me. You think that I want to become the king. So it becomes very miserable. And then what did Bharat Maharaj do, you know? He said, for Bharat, the thought of becoming the king of Ayodhya, becoming Ayodhyapati, was like drinking poison. He didn't want to do that. So, what did Bharat do? It was a shock to him that Vasishtha Muni said the word that he said. So, Bharat closed his eyes. He meditated on the lotus feet of Lord Ram. He prayed to Lord Ram. And then he slowly but steadily, he regained control over his emotions, and he then addressed the ministers in very, very strong words. He said that Bharat said that it is foolish to put ornaments on a dead body. Nobody decorates a dead body with ornament. It is stupid, you know, to anticipate that a diseased person will enjoy pleasures. Somebody is diseased and you tell him, go, you know, there is such wonderful feast arranged for you. He's not in a mood to enjoy, because that is, he's in a diseased condition. Just as chanting without, you know, devotion is fruitless, just as a beautiful body without life, pranavihina body, is useless, similarly, the kingdom of Ayodhya without Ram is meaningless. Thus he addresses all the assembled people, he addresses them. Then he says, the Lord of this kingdom and my Lord is Sri Ram and no one else. So relationship with Ayodhya Whatever relationship I have with Ayodhya is because of Lord Ram. Then he says, only a well-qualified person should become a king. Knowledge, education, control over senses, sense of duty, compassion, and countless other transcendental qualities are there in my dear brother Ram. So only he deserves to be the king. I don't have any of those qualities. He says that if a sinner like me, he's not a sinner, but he says that if a sinner like me sits on the throne, the earth will sink, he says. So how can a sinner take the place of a virtuous personality like Lord Sri Ram? So then he says that Puru may have sacrificed his youth for the sake of his father, Yayati. But my mother, Kaikai, she has sacrificed my dear father for putting me on the throne. So because Vasishtha Muni had said that, she says that my mother also has done a sacrifice. She has sacrificed, you know, my father. My father is dead because of this decision. If anyone in this assembly thinks that my mother is religious, then most certainly Kali Yuga, you know, has entered Treta Yuga. Harsh words about one's own mother. But Bharat is in such a state of consciousness, he's so miserable in separation from Lord Ram, that these words just sprout from his lips. He says it, and then, I will never be a king. And saying this, Bharat, what he did was, all the paraphernalia, you know, for coronation was kept in the center of the hall. So Bharat just circumambulated, you know, the paraphernalia that was kept for him. Just did parikrama of that paraphernalia. And then he got up. Then he said that if anyone is to be coronated, it will be Lord Ram only. And none else deserves to be coronated. It will be Lord Ram. And I will go to the forest and beg of Lord Ram to become the next king of Ayodhya. So entire Ayodhya will go to the forest. Let everyone, every Ayodhya Vasi, let him come with me. I will go to the forest and all of you also come to the forest. And then he instructs Sumantra. Sumantra, he tells Sumantra, Sumantra, make all arrangements for all of us to go to the forest to meet Lord Ram. Make nice roads so that, you know, people can travel there very easily, because it is a forest terrain. So it's difficult to reach that place. So make all the arrangements. We'll all go together. We'll go there, go to that place. This way he instructs Sumantra. And what was Vasishtha Muni's reaction? Vasishtha Muni started crying. He was so happy to see Bharat's, you know, response to whatever he had done. Initially he was testing Bharat Maharaj, but now that the test, he's successful in the test, he starts crying bitter tears of joy. Tears of joy, you know, come out of his eyes. And he's seeing Bharat's consciousness, he's very, very happy. And entire, all the Ayodhya Vasis, entire crowd is with him. So, as they say, bhai ho to aisa. So, this is the brother that they had. Now, the next misunderstanding, the fourth one that we'll be discussing, is the misunderstanding of Guha. Guha is the Kevat Raj. No, he's the Kevat Raj. So, after Bharat Maharaj instructed Sumantra, Sumantra made all the necessary arrangements for all people, you know, to travel to the forest to meet Lord Ram. Everything that was necessary was done by Sumantra. He made all the arrangements. And then entire caravan, you know, Ayodhya Vasi, the horses, the elephants, the chariots, everybody, you know, started going towards, you know, the forest by the roads that were newly made, new roads leading to the forest. Everyone had only one Gantavya Sthan, and that was to meet Lord Ram wherever he was. He was at that time in Chitrakoot, but they didn't know it then. But then he said that everyone wanted to meet Ram. That was the only single point agenda. So they were, Shatrughna and Bharat, both of them were seated on a chariot. They were on a chariot. And the chariot, you know, was speeding, being driven. Every other Ayodhya Vasi, all of them were in their respective vehicles. And where were the queens? All the three queens, Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi, they were in palanquins, you know. They were in palanquins being taken away. They were all going, everybody was, you know, going on the same road. And Bharat and Shatrughna were in chariot, they were going. So as they were proceeding along, this Bharat was so sensitive. Bharat started thinking. He thought that this same road, you know, in a worse condition, must have been taken by Ram, Lakshman and Sita. They must have walked on this rougher, you know, road. And they walked. They did not have a chariot to go by. So he decides there and then that I will not ride a chariot. So he jumps out of the chariot. Shatrughna jumps out of the chariot. Both of them, you know, start walking towards the forest. So when that happens, all the Ayodhyavasis, they also jump out of their vehicles. Everybody starts walking. And then there is a very wonderful development. Kausalya, she comes in a... She's in her palanquin. She's in a palanquin. She comes in her palanquin and comes near Bharat and Shatrughna, who are walking on the road. She comes near them, sticks her neck out of the palanquin, and then tells Bharat. Bharat, she says, Bharat, why are you walking? Because you are walking, Ayodhyavasis are also walking. And mind you, she tells Bharat, gives a very nice instruction. She says that it's not very important how you reach, which way you reach Lord Ram's. What is important is reaching, you know, Lord Ram at the earliest and seeing his moon-like face. That is the top priority. Because, you know, you have started walking, all the Ayodhyavasis are walking, and it will take us a much, much, much longer time, that much more separation from Lord Ram. So why not you go back to your chariot and ride? Bharat Maharaj immediately accepts Kausalya's. He doesn't say, what nonsense are you talking? No. So I have taken the place of Lord Ram here. I am temporarily. So my orders are final order. He doesn't say that. He very respectfully agrees and they go get back. They get back into their, you know, rath, and then the caravan, and everybody gets back into their vehicles, and then they speed on. They walk. This way they walk. So Bharat Shatrughna accepted Mother Kausalya's statement and they got on with the chariots, and all the Ayodhyavasis also went into their respective chariots. So soon everyone reached, they reached the shore of Mother Ganges, Ganga River. They reached the shore there. Soon after reaching the Ganges, Bharat, he decided that he will stay in a place called Shrunga Bairpur. And accordingly, all sorts of huts were created for that overnight stay there. And Bharat, as soon as he saw Ganga Devi, he thought of offering oblations for his departed father, you know, Dashrath Maharaj. So he went to offer oblations. When all these things were going on, the entire caravan settling down there, all the chariots, the horses, the elephants, everybody being rested, Bharat and Shatrughna there, the queen mothers, all, everybody there. So a pair of eyes was watching. Which the pair of eyes belonged to none other than the Kevat Raj Guha. Guha, along with his army, you know, was watching what Bharat was doing. He started seeing Bharat, you know, he saw him offering oblations to his father, he saw that. But then he also saw that there was a huge army with Bharat. If the intention of Bharat is just to meet, you know, Lord Ram, why does he have an army with him? So Guha starts thinking, surely he is not satisfied with just getting the kingship, you know. He has got the kingship already. He is not satisfied only with that. He also wants to ensure that Ram doesn't attack him. So he wants to finish him off when he is in the forest. That is the misunderstanding which Guha has about Bharat Maharaj. Now, poor Bharat Maharaj, innocent Bharat Maharaj, absolutely innocent, has done nothing to deserve what he is getting. But Guha thinks about him in this way. But this is human nature. So most of the time we tend to disbelieve things. We can't believe that somebody, you know, is doing something very earnestly. No? Sometimes when we go out preaching and we offer some prasad or something to somebody, people look at you a little suspiciously. Why is he offering prasad, you know? They don't think that this is done out of goodness of heart. They don't think. So similarly here, Guha misjudges. He misjudges, you know, Bharat. And then he decides, and then he says that I will shed my life, you know, for Ram. If it comes to the crux, I will see that, you know, somehow or the other Ram is protected. Nothing happens to him. He is not hurt. He sees that I will see to it that this happens. And then Guha then starts thinking. He says that he is the illustrious son of Dashrath Maharaj. He is brother of Lord Ram. Maybe I am a little hasty in judging him. All Guha's soldiers, they say that we are with you. We will fight to the bitter end to protect Lord Ram. All of them give commitment. But Guha starts thinking, maybe, you know, I am a little hasty. Let me go and meet him. So he takes some tasty food with him and goes and meets Bharat Maharaj. He goes and meets Bharat Maharaj, and then after he goes to meet Bharat Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj is happy to have received such a person, Guha. He meets him, and when he meets Guha, I have too many things to tell, so too many notes. So anyway, so when Guha went to meet Bharat with that tasty food, Guha saw Bharat's beautiful, you know, countenance, his beautiful face, his, you know, striking resemblance to Lord Ram, his exterior, you know, calm and cool exterior. When he saw, Guha thought to himself, I think I misjudged him. But nevertheless, he's still carrying that, you know, seed of suspicion in his mind. It is still carrying. So anyway, so Bharat asked Guha, will you please tell me how to cross the Ganges and go to the ashram of Bharadwaj Muni? How to go there? How to reach there? Will you please tell? I understand that that is the next destination that we have. So Guha says that, don't worry, I have 500 boats at my disposal. We'll ferry you across the river Ganges. No worries. Don't worry about it. But then he looks at Bharat. In the heart of his heart, he knows that Bharat is innocent. But still, that seed of suspicion is in his heart. He asks Guha asks Bharat Maharaj. He says that, why have you brought such a big army, you know, to meet your brother Ram? Is it your intention to harm him? So when this direct question is posed, Bharat, you know, literally starts crying. He sheds tears. He says that you are also misjudging me. You are also misjudging me. And then he says that he tells Guha that I have come here not with the intention to harm my brother or hurt him in any way. I have come here to escort him back to Ayodhya. I have come with the army, everybody, so that all of us, you know, can go back to Ayodhya and there, you know, he can be coronated. That is the desire with which I have come. Why do you misjudge me, O friend? You are my friend, you have misjudged me. He's not actually a friend, but a friend. So that, why you misjudged me? So this way he says, and at that time, Guha realizes that, you know, he has really hurt Bharat. Then he says something beautiful. Guha says something beautiful. He says that Lord Ram, in obedience to his father's instruction, he left his kingdom. He left Ayodhya. He gave up everything and came to the forest. But in your case, you have inherited the kingdom. You don't have to please anybody. You could have just enjoyed. But you have come all the way to give justice, to, you know, make your elder brother the king of Ayodhya. So, I honor you. You are a gem. You are a gem in the Raghu Vamsha. This way, he praises Bharat. And then he says that, you know, I will, you know, support you, everything that you do. So, there is misunderstanding as I said, misunderstanding is cleared by understanding. Now, Guha understands Bharat's greatness. He appreciates Bharat's greatness. And then, the first party, you know, that goes, crosses the river is that of, you know, Bharat, Vasishtha Muni, and who else? Anyway, they, and Shatrughna. The three of them, you know, board a boat, and they are ferried across, and they go to, afterwards the queens follow, the sages follow, especially sage Vasishtha follows, so all of them go. And after reaching, going across the river, after they reach that place, to the boats, then Bharat Maharaj asks Vasishtha Muni, only him to accompany him to Bharadwaj Muni's palace, Bharadwaj Muni's ashram. So, so they go to Bharadwaj Muni's ashram. Bharadwaj Muni welcomes Bharat and Vasishtha, both of them. They are welcomed and he gives them a nice reception. And then Bharadwaj, he doesn't ask any questions about Dasharatha Maharaj, because he knows that Dasharatha Maharaj has already, you know, left his body. He doesn't ask any question. And then he goes, Bharadwaj Muni does not ask any questions, and then he says something which makes Bharat Maharaj extremely morose. So this is the fifth misunderstanding which Bharat has to face. So Bharadwaj Muni just asks a simple question. Simple question. I hope your arrival here will not cause any harm to Ram. Nice words, simple words. But those simple words cause such piercing wound in the heart of Bharat. Your arrival here will not harm Bharat, will not harm Ram in any way. So he is very much in agony hearing that word. Then he addresses Bharadwaj Muni. So Bharat is stunned. He says that, O great sage, you are Trikalajna. You know, you know the past, present, future. You too think that, you know, I am capable of this. You should have known better. So it's very, very miserable. And then he addresses him that way. Then he says, let me assure you, O Muni, that I have no evil designs in my heart. My mother, my motives are honest, and all these, my father's death, Sri Ram's exile, all this happened during my absence. The cause of all this is actually my mother Kaikeyi. So Kaikeyi has arrived by that time. She is there to hear Bharat. So all the cause of all this is none other than mother Kaikeyi. So please believe me when I say that I want to correct all the wrong things that have taken place. Wrong things have taken place in my absence. I want to correct all of them. That is the intention why I have come here. And he said that if you have any doubts about what I have said, then please ask Vasishtha Muni. He belongs to your, you know, fraternity. Muni is also a sage, renowned sage. You ask him whether what I am saying is right or wrong. So then Vasishtha Muni talks to Bharadwaj Muni and assures him, tells him that whatever Bharat has said is 100% right. He has come here with the intention of crowning Lord Ram. He wants to crown Lord Ram. He wants to make him Ayodhyapati. So then Bharatwaj says, O Bharat, you are an ornament in Ikshvaku dynasty. You are an ornament in Ikshvaku dynasty. Initially he has said those words. But as they say that once, you know, an arrow is shot, you cannot take it back. So the arrow has found its mark. But then Bharadwaj Muni immediately corrects himself. He has misunderstood in the beginning. He corrects himself and he says, Bharat, you are an ornament in Ikshvaku dynasty. I said what I said so that my disciples here and the world at large understands your true noble nature. The world understands your integrity, your sincerity. They understand. That is the reason, you know, why I said what I said. But don't take it, you know, in this way. So be here. I know the purpose why you have come here. You have come to meet Lord Ram, Lakshman, Sita. And this is not a time to actually stir out of this ashram. You take rest here for the night. And tomorrow, I will show you where Ram, Lakshman, Sita are staying. And having said that, he goes. But before going, he says something for Bharat's, you know, nothing hurtful. He gives an advice to Bharat. He says that, stop, you know, being cruel to your mother. You stop being cruel to your mother. You are using harsh words against your mother, Kaikeyi. She did what she did. It was the will of providence. Daiva jata dukhe bharata doshana kunata. That is Ramayana said, Gita Ramayana. Daiva jata. Things happen in our life, they are daiva jata, for which we need not ascribe blame to any specific person. It is thus daiva jata. It has happened. So don't blame her. You have been hurtful for too long a time. You know, you have hurt her. Don't be that. So Bharat, when Kaikeyi hears Bharadwaj Muni saying this, at long last she feels there is one supporter for me. She is now somewhat relieved. So this is how it happens. So then next, I hope I have enough time. I'll conclude with this. So the next misunderstanding is by Lakshman. Lakshman misunderstanding Bharat. So all of them, you know, are now settled. Ram, Lakshman, Sita. Bharadwaj Muni shows them where they are there, where they are staying. Chitrakoot, dekho. So Ram, Lakshman has constructed a very beautiful, you know, cottage for their stay. He himself doesn't sleep. He's always on guard. It is described in Ramayana that for 14 years he didn't sleep. For 14 years he didn't eat. That is Lakshman. So much devoted to Lord Ram. So he constructed a nice cottage. And one day Lord Ram and Sita, they are sitting in their cottage. And as they are sitting there discussing, they suddenly start hearing, you know, trumpets. They start hearing the, you know, sound of, you know, elephants and horses and chariots, you know, being dragged on the road. They hear the sound. And Ram, you know, is curious. He tells Lakshman, Lakshman, please find out what is happening here. So Lakshman immediately climbs a tree which is next to the cottage. He climbs up, and when he climbs up, from a distance he is able to see Dashrath Maharaj's chariot. He sees the flag. He says, "Huh, surely." And then he sees Bharat from a distance. That is enough. Lakshman is angry beyond redemption, becomes very, very angry. He misunderstands Bharat. He says that now Bharat has come. He has already, you know, usurped the kingdom. He has not usurped the kingdom, but he has already got the kingdom. And now, you know, he is coming here. He wants to kill Ram, get rid of the problem once and for all. That must be the attitude. So he comes down with flared nostrils. He tells, you know, Ram, see, this, you know, Bharat, not satisfied with just getting the kingdom, he has now come here to kill you. So Lord Ram, you know, he's astounded at Lakshman's reaction. Very coolly, very calmly, Lord Ram tells him, Lakshman, you have misunderstood Bharat. He has not come here to kill me. He has come here to meet me in great love. He has come with the queen mothers and everybody else to, you know, accost me. He has come here with that intention. So when Lakshman hears the soothing words of Ram, he is immediately, you know, satisfied. He is immediately content. He, in fact, feels ashamed that, you know, in a haste, you know, he misjudged, misunderstood. Very many times in anger, we are judgmental about things, but that is wrong. And Lakshman, you know, is very sorry for things that he has said. His uncontrollable rage, he controls, and then things are all right. So Lord Ram says sweet words to Lakshman, and then there is coming to meet, then there is a beautiful meeting among the brothers. All the brothers, you know, meet near the cottage. The queen mothers have also arrived. I won't go into the details. All of you are familiar with whatever has happened. So all of them, you know, embrace one another. And then the brothers together go to the river and they offer oblations for Dashrath Maharaj. When Lord Ram hears about Dashrath Maharaj's passing away, he collapses, he faints, but then he recovers himself. And then Bharat Maharaj, you know, blames himself for the death of his father, but Ram assures him that whatever things have happened in our life, you know, my coming to the forest, our father, you know, dying, all these, you know, have been decreed by fate. So there is a saying in Subhashit in Sanskrit, Daivam Phalati Sarvasya, Sarvatra, Na Vidya Nacha Paurusham. So he says that whatever has happened has been decreed by fate. Don't blame anyone, don't take any blame on yourself that these things have happened. That way he soothes. And then what follows, which I won't discuss, there is no time whatsoever. So what follows is a great, discussion between Ram and Bharat. Each of them, wanting the other person to become the Ayodhyapati. Bharat wants Ram to become Ayodhyapati and Ram wants Bharat to become the Ayodhyapati. So there is, this is something novel. So in this age, Kali Yuga, we see brothers, sisters fighting in court over property matters. Whereas here, they are fighting over who should become the king. You become a king. They say, no, you become the king. That way the fight is going on. It's actually not a fight. So in that argument, in that debate, the sages also participate. Vasishtha Muni participates. So many other, sages also participate. But eventually, Ram stands his ground. He says that, I will continue, I will continue in the forest. Bharat suggests to him that we'll exchange places. I will be in your place, you go to Ayodhya. But nothing is acceptable. Finally, Lord Ram is firm in his conviction and he says that I'll be in Vanvas. So Bharat Maharaj takes Ram's sandals. He takes his sandals, his padukas, touches to his head, and then he puts them upon Lord Ram's foot and then again takes them. And then he says that these sandals will rule Ayodhya. I am not going to be the king of Ayodhya. So then Ramayana narrates that Bharat Maharaj went to a place called Nandigram. So for 14 years, he lived there like an ascetic. He wore, ochre clothes, clothes of sannyasi. He lived on barley water, simple barley water. He dug a hole in the earth and he used to sleep below that earth. The logic being that Lord Ram, he's sleeping on the ground. So I should not sleep on the same level as him. I should sleep somewhere below. That is the real, consciousness of a bhakta. They said I should live somewhere underground, below the. So he goes, he lives there. And for years, 14 years, he rules Ayodhya. He expands the kingdom, but making the sandals, the real king. So every day, it is described that every day, the developments in the kingdom were read out to the sandals. Just as here in the morning, the book distribution scores are read out for the benefit, pleasure of Radha Gopina. Similarly, these are read out there. And that way he continues. And then comes the ultimate test, which Lord Ram does it. This is not misunderstanding. Lord Ram conducts a final test. I'll describe that and then conclude my talk. So, when it is time for Lord Ravana has been destroyed, Rama Ravana Yuddham, Rama Ravana Yoho Yuddham Iva. It is described that the battle between Ram and Ravan is like a battle between Ram and Ravan. You cannot compare it to anything else. That kind of a battle. And Ravan is eventually killed. He dies. He dies. After that, Ram doesn't even go anywhere into Lanka. He crowns Vibhishan as the king. And he, Lakshman arranges the, all the formalities. Now after the coronation of Vibhishan, they all want to revert to, they want to come to Ayodhya. At that time, Lord Ram calls Hanumanji. He calls Hanumanji and tells him, Hanumanji, we will all be coming to, Ayodhya. We'll come in this Pushpak Viman. But I want you to do a test. He says, you jump from here and go to Nandigram. Go to a place where Bharat Maharaj is there. After going there, you just announce that Lord Ram is returning, to Ayodhya. Just announce that. After announcing that, you watch carefully the expressions on Bharat's face. If there is an iota, slightest, even an iota of disappointment on his face that I am returning, then you come and report to me. I will not go back to Ayodhya. I will not be the king of Ayodhya. So this is the test which Prabhu Ram imposes on his dear beloved brother. So Hanumanji says, yes. So he jumps, as only Hanuman can jump. He jumps, he goes there. After going there, he announces, that Lord Ram, Ravana has been killed. He's coming back to Ayodhya when he announces, and then he watches Bharat. Bharat's face lights up in joy. His consciousness has not changed in 14 years. He no longer, he doesn't desire that, it's okay if Ram doesn't come, I'll be the next king. That consciousness is not there. He thrilled, he dances in joy. So Hanumanji comes and reports to, all is well, Bharat has passed this final test also. So that way Lord Ram returns to Ayodhya. He becomes the king. So this way there is beautiful. There are more stories of misunderstanding, but I lost some time initially. So there was also the famous misunderstanding of Guru misunderstanding his Shishya. The example is of Shyamananda Prabhu, Shyamananda, in our parampara, Gaudiya parampara. There is that. Anyway, so you can always read about it. So misunderstandings are a part of our life, and we should be very wary about being judgmental. Don't ever try to, judge anybody harshly or wrongly. And if there is any misunderstanding, the solution is to reach an understanding. Go to the person about whom you have misunderstood, talk to him directly, and tell him that, this is what I feel about you. Is it right? So the person can contradict or say, sometimes it can end up in fight also, but I'm just saying that this is the way one can clear misunderstanding and make our consciousness clear. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Problem नहीं है, because I have undergone surgery, I can't sit cross-legged. नहीं नहीं hernia operation था लोगों का.
ठीक. श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.